hold. In his hands, he's got the hold. In his hands, he's got the hold. In his hands, he's got the whole world. He's got the whole world.
The whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole
world. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got everybody here. In his hands, he's got everybody here. In his hands, he's got everybody here. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the whole world in his hands.
That's like good news, huh?
You and me, brother.
Sing it loud.
In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
Come on.
In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Hallelujah.
That's good news, amen. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor here, and it is a joy to be able to worship with you today as we gather here on this beautiful windy day. And for those who venture on this side, just be mindful of the water. That's all we say. We don't want to lose anybody, get washed out. So we do have lifeguards standing by right there. Hey, but it is good to be able to gather. As we gather here, we like to remind us that we gather in a place of grace. We call this a no judgment zone. That means it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to just be yourself, connect. Our goal is just to help you connect with Jesus. And so no matter if you're a guest, have been here, or regular, this is what we're about, because Jesus is the one who awakens our hearts. Jesus is the one who brings life and peace that we so desperately need and strength. We do want to welcome our guests, especially. We thank you for coming from a new place, and we'd love to be able to connect with you and anyone else out here too. In your worship folder is a connection card. If you could take it out, it'd be great if you could just fill it out the front. We'd love to recognize your presence with us as we gather. If you have been a regular worship, you realize that you just need your name. We just want to still be able to recognize you and those joining online. Hope you'll be able to post that on Facebook or YouTube. Let us know where you're listening from. It's always great to hear from you also. We are in a study of Galatians, and if you're not familiar with the book of Galatians, it's a lot about grace, grace, grace. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel, and Paul's been hammering it to this group of people that have drifted away, that he planted a church in a bunch of churches in the Galatia area, modern-day Turkey, and now he's coming back because they have drifted away from the law. And so we've been going through this, and today we continue on this idea of being a child of God and his freedom, and Paul takes it up to another level and trying to like reconnect and put a bow tie. What does that mean for them to live together that way? Being free. And speaking of being free, You know, we had a very big event happen this week. I think that everybody is well in tuned into to the election. And, you know, given the percentages, that means that there's probably in our area 75% are happy and 25% are not, or whatever. But regardless of that, I feel like we need to do some political detoxing and get our minds and our hearts more fixed on just God, who's in control. As we sang before, he's got the whole world in his hands. It didn't matter who was elected, he's greater. And he has a plan. He promises to work good through all people. Even people don't even acknowledge him. God has not been limited. God, his power is over them, and he will work through them whether they realize it or not. And so I really want to begin our worship with just maybe a different tone, of just a tone of just focusing on him in a greater measure, and say, God, you are the ruler, you are our king, you're the Lord of lords, you're the one we put our trust in. And you are the one that we seek. The Bible says, seek his kingdom first and what is righteous, and all these things will be added to. Seek him first. So let's be a people that seek. So I invite you to rise and join me in prayer, and then this time of extended just praise and being in his presence. God, we come here and gather here to worship because you've called us, you invite us, but most importantly, God, we know we need it. We need you. And whether we're grateful or upset, whatever it is in our life going on, God, we are just mostly grateful that you're on the throne. We are grateful for what you've done and what you're doing and what you will do. And we are thankful that we're in your hands. And sometimes we act like children who have been abandoned by their father, but you have never left us. You have been there through all times, and you will be. And so, God, we recognize you here in this midst right now, that you're with us, and we want more of you. We just want more of you, God, in our life. More of you in every part of life. Would you just permeate it all? That no matter if you're a believer or not, you just be overwhelmed by this truth of your presence, of your amazing grace. And so, God, we lift up our voices, and in that, lifting up our minds and our hearts and our soul to you, to seek you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, oh, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, oh, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. Oh, I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. Oh, he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through.
Yeah.
Rain came when blue, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through. 'Cause I'm standing strong on you. Built on you. Christ is my firm foundation. Oh, the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaking. Oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generation. So why would he fail now? He won't.
He won't. You know, the Lord is our Savior, and we profess that and we celebrate it. And we often think of just Easter. And we think about what he's done in that Easter moment, but the God is a God who's always saving us. He's watching us. He's protecting us. He's sustaining us in a true faith. And so, where does the psalm says, where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord. The Lord who is great, who is mighty. And so he is worthy of our praise. Let us continue to praise him.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Come on, sing it to them. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, Lord. And great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Come on, sing it with me.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
You know, Paul writes in Philippians and he says, you know, set your mind on these things. These things above, worthy of praise. God, you are so worthy of our praise. All the time. For you are great, not us. Our greatness is only because of you. Our greatness is because you gave us breath. You did this work in us. And so, God, we just want to praise you. Because you truly are great. And the great are just not just the creator who created all the different worlds, but you're the God who came and saved us. When you didn't have to, when we didn't deserve it, but you did it because your great love. And so, God, we give you praise. We give you thanks again and again and again.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Come on, sing that again.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's give God applause. Let's praise him with our hands. Let's lift up him up. Thank you, Father. We just thank and praise you, God. You are great. We love to be able to call you on our lips, that we get to sing out to you, God. We pray now, man, may your spirit just enlighten your word in our hearts, awaken it, strengthen it, and that we may walk in delight in your will that is good and gracious. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite you to be seated. Thanks, Roberto. If you want to open up your worship floor, you can follow along that outline. I want to give us a little setup to this part of Galatians. Before accepting the call here to be the pastor at Hope, I was interviewed for this church planting in another place in Florida, and Christy and I had met with the district president, and he had said, yeah, I want you to go, and I, you know, kind of like a preliminary interview. We were the mission executive, and we spent over a week in this area and studying it and looking at the opportunities that were there, and we were excited because for the opportunity, but a little concerned. Excited because they had 10 acres right next to a college campus in this wonderful town. Incredible opportunity to share the gospel. Concerned because the last church planter that came, he failed. And so there was just a little bit of concerns in there. But we, you know, they kind of said, hey, we want this, we have this vision of wanting a ministry to the college and to young families and having a child care, but also we need to have a ministry that takes care of the retirees and snowbirds that come down. And so we went home, and after being home for a while, they had another interview with them, and this time was a district president, mission exec, and some other key leaders, and it was a phone call. And so this time they're pressing in, like, what do you think the vision is? You've been here, you saw it and everything else. And I said, you know, given the opportunity that's there right next to the college campus, and the fact that there's two other Missouri Synod Lutheran churches in the area that are more traditional, not in touch with the college campus, I said, we need to have more contemporary focus and impact this college campus and focused on young families. And all of a sudden, this created a huge debate amongst the interview committee with me. And they were pushing back, especially the district president, who makes the final decision. And he is laying down some emotional stories along the way. And so I keep pushing back that it needs to be for this younger group. I mean, this is the vision. I mean, these other, I said, look, the older people, they already have faith. And there's two other churches that they just need to be in a waiting room for heaven. But if people want to engage in the mission of God and care about the generation that doesn't know Jesus, this is where we need to go. And so they keep pushing back. And I said, look, he goes, you won't have funding. You'll never make it. And I said, I didn't know God's vision was for sale. I didn't know that we didn't believe that God would provide for what he's called us to. And so this lasted for 2 to 3 hours. And so this is one of the reasons why I'm here. I'm kidding, okay? I got done, and I called them back, and I said, like, hey, I called the mission exec, and I was just like, hey, are we okay? Are we okay? And he said, we're good. In fact, we needed to hear that. We needed to be pushed, and this truth was incredibly helpful, and we want to move forward. So have you ever loved someone so much that you had to have one of these intense conversations of truth and love that need to be shared for them to grow up and understand something? And it was so intense that afterwards you had to ask, are we still good? Are we good? I'm like, do you understand the heart behind it? The motivation, the reason of just wanting the best for you? Perhaps it's when you maybe disciplined one of your children. You really had to lay down some truth there to help them. And it was some hard truth. And even though you might have been hugging it out during it, you know that it sat really hard. And so what did you do? You come back later and say, are we good? Maybe let's get some ice cream. I love you. In a sense, this is the purpose of this part of the letter that Paul is writing. The Apostle Paul has been going around the mountain of the gospel, we say. He keeps walking the same trail, yet discovering stuff new. And he's been like hammering the gospel, how it's Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. This is what saves you. And these false teachers who attacked me are teaching a false gospel, which is the law, which is no gospel, and is bound you. And so this time, the Apostle Paul circles back around to reassure them of the relationship and invites them to say, look, you are children of God. We have laid this down objectively. God has made you his child, has given us freedom. This is your gift. It's yours to take hold of. He says, take hold of it. And then he says, look, to this time, he's inviting them to be like Christ with him and grow in the gospel with him. And so Galatians 4, 12 to 20 in your notes. Let's just read over it and let the word of God get into our hearts. So he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in the freedom from these things. For I become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful, grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right, but let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you." So letter A in your notes, the very beginning, it's an invitation to live as Paul in the freedom of Christ. Paul is inviting them. He's laid that foundation over and over again. Now he's like, take hold of it. Live in this freedom that I am living with you. He says, I plead with you to live as I do in this freedom. Embrace it. Just like I have. And so Paul, again, is referring to kind of that, his testimony here that, I mean, he is the Jew of Jews. He has Jewish lineage. He is of the tribe. And then he's also, Daniel, he's also has this birthright now. He's been born in a Pharisee home, and he's been the enforcer of the laws. And yet Jesus intervened in his life. And he learned the gospel, and the gospel set him free. Those chains are gone. And he is reminding him God has done that for them also, and they have been liberated through Jesus in the Holy Spirit and baptism, and so they can join him in his freedom. In fact, Paul, what did he do? He exercised that freedom right in their midst. He being a Jew and them being Gentiles, when he came in their midst, he did not hold to his Jewish traditions and laws. Again, Paul would say, and we would all say, not all laws are bad. They're not to be burdensome over us. And so Paul is saying, look, I gave all that and became a Gentile, lived in my freedom as a Gentile with you in order to bring you the gospel so you would know it. And so Paul is bringing this invitation to them. And this invitation is also for us, as we've been talking, as we've been going through this journey, we notice that what is natural for us is to live by the law. We drift to the law. We always fall back to the law. And yet, Jesus has intervened in our life and set us free. And that we can live by his spirit in the supernatural. By his grace. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit is, the Lord, there is freedom. So in our freedom, we're not bound to these things. As his children, we're under this state of his grace. He can't love you anymore and love you any less. And so we're free. And it's not a freedom, to be clear, not the freedom to go sin, so you have more grace. Paul's clear about that. But removed of the burden. And what's interesting is Apostle Paul, I think it's like over 6 times in the New Testament, he says words like this to the people that he's leading. He says this in 1 Corinthians, and you notice, so I urge you to imitate me. He says, look at me, and you'll know how to live as Christ. Why? Because Paul says, I am fixed on following Christ. Therefore, you look at me, you can see it. And I think part of the goal of this letter and what we can observe that we learn from this is number one, we all need mentors who are living examples how to live freely and harmoniously together. We need to see it. This freedom in the gospel is foreign to us. It's not our natural state. Our natural state, again, is to be into the laws. And the more maybe we're church, the more laws we get into. And we start to bring on more laws based on preferences and all these other things. And yet we don't live in this freedom. And Paul's like, we need this visual example. In fact, Paul talks to the church in Philippi. He says, if there is any encouragement from belonging to Christ, like encouragement in that freedom of grace, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in his spirit, freedom, and our hearts tender and compassionate grace, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. What is that? One mind and purpose, to live as Christ. If there's any value to this gift that you are given, then if there's value to it, it's true, then let you truly live by it. What Paul is saying is that he's encouraging us to live out our freedom in a faith community. It's important that you have others who share in the same faith that you live around, that you do life with, that you hang out with. Because we know the old saying, right? Birds of a feather, what? Flock together. Who you hang out with is who you will be. Because faith and habits are not necessarily taught, they are caught. They are caught by someone modeling to us over and over again, us hearing about it again and again and again. It's caught. I mean, we've seen the illustrations, we can see the illustrations even with the election of the groupthink. One of the exit polls, right, it just said that most of the people that voted for Kamala Harris were had college degrees or in towns with universities. And it's like, yeah, because this is where it's caught. And there's communities that reinforce these theories and habits. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. If you're going to walk in the freedom of Christ, you need to have a church, family, and friends who walk in that wisdom also to help you grow in Christ, that you share in that. It's so popular that we just think that, hey, I can be a Christian and just go alone. I don't need others. And here's the problem. If you think you don't need others, then here's what happens. You start to walk in the ways of fools. Because you're going to be impacted by everything around you, the social media, this phone that brings all this information to try to shape you. And it's when he says fools, what he's saying is there is information that is not of God. That's what is foolish. Falsehood. And so he says, look, you got to get around others because you'll take on their laws. You'll take on their habits and think they're right. But if you put them up to the Bible, if you stand them up to the Word, they're not. But if we're not around others and we're just not around other Christians and we're just in the world, we start to be shaped by the world. We start to be shaped by the information and all these events and all these crises impact us. And then we incorporate a bunch of things that aren't even Christian. And yet call ourselves Christians. This week I was called in for a family that their husband had a heart attack and died. They're on vacation from out of state. And so I came into the hospital to meet with them and talk with them, and I try to connect and comfort them. And so I asked about their faith life. And they looked and said, well, we call ourselves Christians. I said, that's great. Do you have a church home? Because I'm like thinking about how they're worried about going home and how this is all going to work, and they got a people that can surround them and support them. And they go, oh, no, we don't have a church home. And I said, well, you know, how does your faith help you in this situation? How do you find strength in this? As a chaplain, I can't tell you. I have to help you find strength. and there's like crickets. And so after 5 minutes or more of just silence, I said, wouldn't it be helpful if I would pray or share some scriptures that would help encourage us at this time and comfort us? And they said, I looked at my name tag like, no, thanks, Jason, for coming. See, we need mentors who are living examples of the gospel, of how to live freely and how to live harmonious together. And so we don't get divided over falsehood. They were divided over these man-made laws that have crept in and taken away from the truth. So the Apostle Paul tries to bring them back to this moment where they were in the gospel freedom. And so he says, look how we came, number two, look how we came together in the gospel, even with my illness before the religious leaders. So before you brought this falsehood, and this is how we were in harmonious together. He said, you did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and you cared for me, though I were an angel from God or even Christ himself, Jesus himself. Where is that joyful, grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if that had been possible. I mean, Apostle Paul was welcoming him. He was welcomed. Even in that sickness, now, that doesn't seem like a big deal maybe, but you got to remember, this is a time where like medicine and doctors were not all there. There wasn't all this developed things. There wasn't all this awareness of sickness and illness. And so if someone would come into your village, into your town, who was sick, I mean, that brought instant fear. Fear of death, fear of the unknown. And so it would have been normal for them to say, get out. To kick him out or to reject him. And yet he came and they received him. They didn't just say, hey, you can stay here and quarantine him. They actually cared for him. They served him. And this was over a long period of time that they invested him so much. Paul says, like, you were like Christ. You treated me like Christ. You gave me such honor and grace and love. The fact that you were willing even to, like, if you could, sacrifice your own eye. That means they were giving of themselves to the point of death. And Apostle Paul says, why are you doing this? Let's connect the dots. It's because of the good news we were sharing in. See, this good news of Christ, it transcends our limitations. It leads us to do things that are supernatural, to beyond ourselves. This is the freedom of Christ we share. They weren't told to. In fact, the common knowledge would be not to, but yet they do it anyway. He's like, this is how you were in the gospel before the law. Wasn't that way much better than it is now? And he asked the question, like, where is that joyful, grateful spirit now? Do you remember a time in your faith walk where you were just so all in for Jesus? I mean, it didn't matter what the cost. It didn't matter the resistance. It didn't matter the challenges, the sacrifices. I mean, your mind was just set. I mean, if Jesus suffered, he suffered more than I will ever suffer, then I will suffer for Jesus. I will pick up my cross. Wherever that spirit calls me, I will go. You know, I think about when we were wrestling over our season of calls one time, and we had a call to a very large church, and I mean, this church had reserves. It had a preschool. It had an elementary school. It had a middle school, a high school. It even had a camp and a senior living and a elderly care nursing home and also a graveyard. It had it all, so to speak. And then we had this other church, and it was a little church. It was a church and a school, and was incredibly struggling, and they had many people turn them down. And it's just been this like thing of our ministry. We have gone where there's been struggles and not things set. And so we went to this little church, and not a little, but you know, smaller church. And besides lots of hardships that happened personally through that journey and with the church, like the church just started to grow rapidly for the first like 5 months. It was amazing to see. There was joy. It was great. And then all of a sudden, a person came to worship that was part of a past conflict. And literally after the benediction, a fight broke out. And we just went, whoa. Well, the other church found out about that. And they issued another call to me to come there. And it was tempting because it would have been easy. But we stayed. And we worked through this brokenness as long as we could. Do you ever wonder where that person inside of you that says, whatever it is, God, whatever you call me to, here I am. Where is that person? Because God has freed us from all the worldly laws of how we are to live life and how we have to have a career. And even though some of you have lived life and have a career and now you're in retirement, you still carry a lot of stress and worry over your retirement because the worldly laws are you're trying to keep up with. You ever asked a question? You ever maybe can be confronted? Why have you become so restricted with the God who's freed you with the gospel in your life? See, the gospel not only transcends the limitations of illness, but it transcends the laws and us, the supernatural in Christ. It gets manifested for you into this joy, this freedom of service and calling, no matter what it is. So where is that joyful and grateful spirit? What is truly leading you? See, the other observation from this is that, number three, we need truth and love to grow up in Christ. We need truth and love to grow up in Christ. Paul has been laying down the truth over and over how the law of this world and ourselves, it just puts chains on us and divides us and brings brokenness and unnecessary burdens. And what does he say? Have I now, verse 16, have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? I mean, this is part of our human nature. When we have people to come and speak the truth in us, even those who love us are motivated by love, we tend to reject them. We blame them, we rationalize them because we don't want to have to admit we're wrong. We admit we have blind spots. However, that's what we need to grow. I mean, we need people in our lives. We need a church. I mean, it's why we come to church and why we worship. We need those who can speak truth and love. If we don't hear the truth, how are we going to grow? If we only hear what we know, we only hear what we're comfortable with, if we're only keep being reassured, how do we continue to grow up in Christ? If you just stay comfortable, you just stay with what you know, then you just stay and you don't grow. You never move forward to your redemptive potential. And it seems like the church, we're okay. We're just okay with settling with that. We're okay letting it go and let you settle with average or below average in your life. Because we'd rather have you here than push you away and say, oh, that's a terrible church, that's a terrible pastor, because what he says, even though he's just saying the truth. The reality is we need that voices in our lives to be able to grow and not stay the same, because we don't stay the same. Nothing stays put. We either are pursuing closer to Christ or we are drifting away. You never just stay the same. You only stay the same in your head. Just like I know, when I go to do something, I still think I'm like 30 and can do things. I have forgotten I have like another couple decades of decay on me. Right? And why do we want to settle for less results in our faith? I mean, statistically, Christians have the same percentage of struggles with sins as non-Christians. How is it that we have the same divorce rate? How is it that we still struggle the same with pornography and all these other things? How is it that we can go from the silent generation where 84% of them claim to be Christians and now be with the millennial generation at 49%. How is it? Because we haven't been in places to be discipled with truth and love. Paul says in Ephesians, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Underline that. He helps the other parts grow. Oh, so you have a purpose, you have a calling in the body of Christ under him? That is for you to fulfill. As you fulfill that, you're helping other parts of the body grow so the whole body is healthy, growing in that full love. What Paul is saying, look, we're the body of Christ. The church is there. Each of us. It's not a one-man show. It's each of us that are there in a community to disciple one another in love and truth together to hold each other together. I mean, we're a body connected by ligaments, held with bones and muscles together to do his work together to make us stronger. But here's the challenge that makes it such a struggle. B, not all leaders are truthful. In verse 17, those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are truly to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to me. Only to them, I'm sorry. I mean, they have selfish motives that are disguised in this higher reasoning and education and laws that they put out, this new knowledge, that they're just manipulating people. You see, I think one of the biggest needs in the church today is number one, the church needs to learn discernment. It needs to learn discernment. John writes, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." While it's nothing new, as we see, there's always been false prophets and false teachers and false religions. It's a sad reality that not everything that we hear, not everything that we are taught, we hear, whether it's in media, social media, or we're taught in our schools, or even in our churches, is true. We have to fact check. We have to test and view a scripture. Not just what we think the Bible says, not what we think we heard before, but what the scriptures truly say. I mean, I heard a pastor last week preach, and he preached that God worships us now. And I was like, wow. That's the line of Satan. That's what Satan fell in, that God should worship him because he was so great. And just because we live in a culture that we worship our own creations, God is not worshiping his creation. He has loved, he has died for it, but that's not his worship. He's still the almighty, powerful one who loves, sustained us, that our whole life depends on him, that he is unworthy of our worship. See, Proverbs 1:7 really gets at it. Let's read together. "For the fear of the Lord is a foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Fear of the Lord. We don't fear God. We look at God as just other information so often. We don't have any fear that of eternity of our life. And that God doesn't want to rule over us in fear, that is true. But we should still carry that this is the God Almighty. I mean, he's greater than the galaxy, the Milky Way. He's beyond our thoughts and minds. And one day, we will stand before him. And therefore, we should be people of humility, of like wanting to know his truth and hold to it, that allow him to shape us. He's the potter, I'm the clay, and that his word that he's given us, his precious word, is our authority in our life. We may never master, we're never going to master it all, but it still should be held over us, not us over it. I mean, I heard a person say this week that they were talking to someone and said, "Look, I can't love God because if he's a loving God, he wouldn't have took my mom." Now, there's a lot of hurt in there, but there's also a lot of pride. Like, if I was a loving God, I would know better than what God is. And that's really at the source of a lot of things in our world today. But here's a question I would ask. If I study biology and got a doctorate in biology, would I know everything about biology? Well, no. I would know a lot, but only a lot about very little. And if I would talk to someone about a biology, they would agree that, well, I know a lot about very little. I don't know all biology. And we're just talking about biology that's known. If you talk to a true scientist, they would say there's tons of biology we don't even know yet. And so if that is true, why do we always keep puffing ourselves up to think we know more and know better than God? God already told us that his ways are not our ways. He says in Proverbs 3:5-6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. In your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your ways, make straight your paths. I mean, for the church to grow in Christ, an age of information, and especially an age with artificial intelligence, and let's just get that on the page. Get that out there, that artificial intelligence is not intelligence. It's pulling, it is gathering information and synthesizing it for you, summarizing it for you. It doesn't have discernment. It doesn't create new information. It just pulls the level of ignorance that is out there. You still hold the more intelligent life. But we need the ability to discern. And discern means identify a counterfeit. Do you know how they identify a counterfeit bill? Do they go around and do they study all the different ways you can counterfeit bills and all the different kind of papers and inks you can use? Do they learn to identify all the different varieties of ways you counterfeit and the way you get at it? No. How do they learn that they can identify a counterfeit bill? They study what is real. They continue to study what is real. So anything that comes that is not real, they can identify as a counterfeit. So you know a scam call because you know a real call. You know a phishing email because you know a real email. You know someone who's lying because you know someone who's telling the truth. You know falsehood because you know the truth of God's word. You know what's real. So when you know what's real, you can identify the counterfeit. You don't have to worry about knowing to study it. It will be self-evident because you know what's true. And so number two, the churches need to be equipped for service, not just gathered and entertained. And Paul says in Ephesians, now these gifts Christ gave to the church, apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. In other words, the leadership of the church in these different roles are here, and their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. And what is his work? His work is discipleship. God gave us all authority in heaven to go and make disciples, to speak truth and love. That is the primary work of the church. Yeah, we have a lot of other different roles, but all those roles need to be funneled and supporting into the mission that God has called us and equipped us and given us authority to do, to build up his church and build up his body. Why? This will continue until we all come to such unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son that we mature in the Lord, measure up to the full and complete standards of Christ, his truth. Then we will no longer be immature like children who were tossed and blown about every wind of new teaching. Counterfeit. And will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So we come to get gathered. We come to be equipped because there's another whole 6 days in front of us where there's going to be counterfeits. There's going to be falsehood constantly bombarding and attacking us. We need to come and be fed with truth and be part of that work of his so we stay in the truth. You know how you learn? You know how you learn more is by doing. Because when you start investing in someone else, you start realizing what you need. You start realizing how valuable it is what you have and what a gift it is to give away. And so Paul says this journey, right? He says, number C, is being formed like Christ is a joyful labor. I mean, he calls them children. He wants them to develop in Christ, but he says this is labor pains. This is not easy. Look, it's a struggle. It's difficult. Growing up in Christ is not an overnight success. Sometimes God will do light bulbs and the world you change like that. But and then most of the time, I think it's a line that's filled with zigzags and this and that, and we retrace steps. We fall on detours. We end up at dead ends because we're just broken. But while our lines are all squiggly and all over, God's line is straight. He doesn't waver. He doesn't change. He is faithful and great for you. He doesn't leave you. Even when you go off the trail, he pursues you and invites you back. So what do we do in this trail? I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was in prison. He didn't have a real great career path, but he had incredible impact in life under the freedom of Christ. In fact, this is what Paul says. I'll leave you this word in Romans. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope in salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Look, problems, being told the truth, can be difficult to swallow sometimes. But that's the journey. That's a journey to get closer to Christ. And that's where that promise, God works all things for good, even in our sins and even in the hardest times, God is making us more and growing us more in him. So let's do that as his children. Let's embrace this gift of his faith and his family and the truth and walk together in the call and his goodness, that we would be brothers and sisters discipling one another on the journey of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for these great treasures, that you are the God of all and God of control, but a God of love. And the God who gives us his truth to keep us from being manipulated and abused and tossed around. I mean, that we have certainty, we have strength, we have true peace. No matter there's chaos around us, we can have peace because we know you are who you are and who we are in you. And so, Father, I pray that there's going to be a lot of turbulence going on as this year unfolds. And it's just we've been in it, it's getting worse, it will be worse again. But let us not be distracted. Let us keep our eyes on you, who truly is our Savior. And so, Lord, we lift up and all those things that we are struggling with or carrying, our burdens, our needs, to you, our Heavenly Father, in a prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In your worship folder, we have an opportunity to just honor God. We've honored him with our lips, with our minds, our hearts, and our actions, with the gifts he's given us, with our resources. As part of our worship, we bring an offering of thanks and gratitude to give him praise. And so you have this on your offering envelope, or you can use the text to give or the QR code. All our ways, secure ways that we can just continue our worship to say, God, you are worthy. You're the most valued treasure in life, and I want to invest in your kingdom in eternity. Also, on the back of your worship, your connection card, if you want to share what you're celebrating today, man, we love to celebrate with you. Also, man, I encourage you to plan to connect in. The Women of Hope have a dinner tonight. You can join in. Looks like there's still time possibility for that. At Marina Cafe, you'd like to join that fellowship encouragement, and that's what I'm saying, doing some life together, it's a great opportunity. We are looking at expanding to Inlet Beach for the Christmas Eve and start there Christmas Eve, the host of service, another beach service. If you'd like to be part of that team, man, we invite you to be part of the training. We're not just want to show up and offer service. We want to come together as a community and bring people into that community and worship with us and to bless them and to bless that area. So come join us, youth group Wednesday nights. Hey, make sure if you're going to be in town, we have our Thanksgiving potluck and worship. That's coming up in a couple weeks. Details are in there. We do it before Thanksgiving, so don't wait for Thanksgiving Day. We won't be there. And then lastly, make note of the voters meeting. Man, it's important that our church come together. God has been opening doors and new opportunities, and also we have some challenges that we want to talk about. We need the family to speak in, and so we have the right discernment together. So let's be part of that. Encourage you. We'd love to have you there. And also, after worship, we invite you to join for the brunch, for a little breakfast there, and a little fellowship afterwards. I hope you'll be able to gather. Love to be able to connect with you there. So let's continue our worship. And as we do, the ushers will come around with a bucket. You can drop your connection card and your offering in it.
Assurance that Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time.
Hallelujah.
Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary, more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior.